Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. And today our guest is Pastor Donald Bryant of First Pentecostal Church on Robert Boulevard. Brother Bryant's a leader in our community in many areas, and we're fortunate that he would sit and talk with us this morning about some of the thoughts that God's put in his heart for 2018. So welcome, Pastor. Glad to be with you this morning.
Well, greetings, Brother Bob. It is good to be here this afternoon or this morning to talk about what God's doing, I guess, for the new year.
Amen.
And it is 2018, and these years come quickly now, seems like.
Oh, so quickly.
But I've always been excited about new years. God is always a God of new beginnings. And so I'm grateful to talk about that and be a part of what God's doing, I believe, in this year.
Amen.
When you look at 2018, Brother Bob, I don't want to stretch the text too much, but 18, if you look in the Hebrew, the root word for the word 18 in the Hebrew is life. And so I think there's some symbolism in perhaps this year. Of course, the number 8 is always the number of new beginnings. The first day of the week was the 8th day, and so we're now in 2018. So I kind of grabbing hold of that this year in my spirit to say, God, we need a new beginning.
Amen.
And that's kind of what I've been feeling in my spirit. I guess most pastors pray about what God, what are you saying, what are you doing? It's kind of what I'm feeling right now.
Well, as we talk about new beginnings and new life, you know, it's really appropriate, not only at the beginning of the year, but as we look for not New Year's resolutions, we don't need to go there, but just looking for hope, looking for something new and fresh at the beginning.
Yeah. I think the key word, Bob, that God's been dealing with my heart is the key word restoration. And we're focusing that here at our church this year. You know, God's in a restoring business. If you study the book of Genesis 1:1-1:2, the Bible said the earth was void, chaotic. And then the Spirit of the Lord moved on that chaotic situation. Well, God created in the beginning, but then you see apparently a restoration process beginning to occur. I think Genesis 1 is really a restoration. And when the Spirit of the Lord began to move, it brought order, it brought restoring to perhaps what had been formless and couldn't be sustained. So what I believe God wants for us to do as a body is to begin to believe for restoration. There's so many things that are being attacked and, I won't necessarily say destroyed, but certainly injured in this journey of life. God said, look, I want to restore that back to its original state. So we're really believing for that. And if you look at Genesis 1, in the beginning God created, and then verse 3 says the Spirit of God moved. Well, there's a distinction between God and the Spirit of God. Well, obviously they're the same. So what's the distinction? Well, I think the Spirit of God is God in activity, God in motion, God okay. Doing something. And I believe that what he was doing was restoration.
You know, as we look at as we talk about restoration, it occurs to me that we have to be willing to accept the present as a reality. Stop playing games, stop pretending, but just to accept the reality of what's going on in our lives that we could do better, that we could do fuller, that we could do better with our family and things like that. That we have to really just kind of stop and take inventory, don't we?
Absolutely. You know, it's amazing, Bob. We humans are something. God has given us some great gifts and great blessings, but our worst enemy is ourselves.
Amen.
When we talk about God and even Satan and others, but our worst enemy is ourselves. We do live in an imperfect world, and I don't know of anything in this world, this present world, that's perfect. Other than God himself. And so we beat ourselves up constantly with our imperfections, and we can never move forward. And I believe the key, again, is to latch on to what God said. Look, I know that. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to keep that going back to you. A lot of discussion on like longevity, just to take it out of the spiritual into a natural realm. But, you know, can man live forever? Well, we all will one day. But even in the natural life, Bob, there's, you know, the science is showing us why we age and that process of aging. Well, if you could get restoration going on there, science is even saying, yeah, you could live forever, so to speak. So I believe restoration is a gift from God. I believe with 2018 being life and new beginnings, we're going to begin to teach that and preach that. But you have to set the atmosphere, because what caused Genesis 1:1, God, and then Genesis 1:3, the Spirit of God? How do you get God in motion? How do we get God? And I think Genesis 1, Brother Bob, is setting us the parameters of how do you get restoration. And the first thing God did was he created an atmosphere, the dividing of the waters. And if you'll notice that scripture,
okay. Yes.
And without taking time for our audience this morning, but God begins a division, and he begins to create an atmosphere. I think you have to create an atmosphere for restoration. And so God began to make the sea distinct from the land. He began to make the heavens distinct from the earth. And he created the sea, and in that sea, of course, was everything the fish needed to live. He created the fields and the earth and everything for the beasts to live. And so it was a dividing, and the climate will dictate that. And so we have to create, I think, an atmosphere for restoration. That, I think, is a key to getting God moving, if I can use that term, in our life. And so the first thing you see is revelation. It's speaking. And God began to speak. And I think as Christians, as believers, we need to exercise the spoken word. God's got so many promises, so many blessings. And what's going to unleash those? Well, I believe it's first the spoken word. And God said. And when God began to say, things happen.
Of course, that's our reality too, isn't it? What God says, what God promises, what God puts in his word, that's the reality. Not the circumstances, not the craziness that's going on around us, not the errant and negative words spoken to our life, but the reality is what God said.
Absolutely, yeah. And God has left that, I believe, for the body of believers, Bob, to exercise that authority. God gave man that dominion. God gave Adam that dominion. And I think we need to exercise that dominion. And it begins, again, with the spoken word, a revelation. God gave Adam dominion over the earth. And that's an amazing scripture. God gave Adam the power to name the animals. He gave power to name the creation. And he said, you have that dominion. And then he specifically says something, I think, very intriguing to me. Bobby, he said, I'm going to give you power over the plants. And when you think of the green herbs as a plant, well, everybody has power over there. But you look, when you don't exercise that authority, that dominion, you look at what so many are in bondage today to. It's plants.
Interesting.
Drugs, the various things like that that are destroying and creating such chaos and destruction. It's bondage to the plants, which we should have dominion over, and yet they have dominion over us. I think God said, look, I'm going to give you dominion. I'm going to give you authority and power. And so these circumstances, like you say, in this case, the plants of the field now have dominion over large segments of our population. And again, it's not a case of holier than thou, but God just says, I want my people to be free. I want to have dominion. I want them to have authority. And you got to speak that authority, Bob. That word has to be claimed, it has to be exercised, it has to be spoken. I think we miss that because we don't create that atmosphere for restoration.
Well, I've always been, to use your word, intrigued by the fact that God created this magnificent creation. Everything works together. The more scientists study and understand, the more magnificent it seems to be how things work together. And yet, after he created this wonderful opportunity, if you will, this wonderful place, then it gave us dominion over it.
Yes.
And what do we know to be able to be able to exercise and use that which He's given us, the plants and all of creation? He gave us dominion over it, and that always amazes me. Like, really?
Absolutely. And we've lost to some degree, Bob, or large degree, I guess, that dominion. And I think it's time for restoration. I think we need to exercise again what God has, what Adam and Eve apparently lost in that garden. God said, I'm going to restore that back to you. I think a second element beyond the exercising and the speaking was, of course, this principle of obedience. Adam and Eve, as long as they walked in obedience to the Word of God, they were blessed. They had it made, as we call it. If I understand my interpretation of that scripture and that story of Genesis, and it was obedience and trust in God. And as long as they walked in that obedience, they were blessed, they were touched, and they were kept. That was all Israel had to do in that journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. Bob, all they had to do was walk in obedience to His Word. They just followed the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. And God said, look, I'll take care of you. I've got this. You're worrying about a bunch of stuff out here. But you just follow me. I'll take care of the rest. And that was obedience. And of course, Israel's problem was, and I've kind of jumped from Adam and Eve now to another text, but they walked in disobedience. And God said, look, if you just obey me and follow my commandments, I will bless you. And God restores. And so Israel continually stumbled over that principle. And that's why, Bob, they said, you know, the writer said in Hebrews, they never found rest. And rest is the opposite of turmoil. And there's too many people have too much turmoil, too much lack of rest in their mind. What rest did they not find? Well, I think it was submission rest. Submission rest being that there's a total trust in God. I don't have to worry. In fact, the Lord told us over and over, don't worry. Don't carry the burdens of today. You know, I'll take care of that. I believe that's what God does for us. Well, what are we supposed to be doing, Bob? We're following after Him.
Well, I think the word trust is really key. That if we can believe that God, and maybe we do believe, God is who He says He is, but I'm not sure I trust Him to do what He said. Maybe this is the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe this is the day He's going to blow me away. Maybe this is the day He's going to say, nope, you just crossed over the line. You've committed the unpardonable sin. But to be able to trust Him, to be able to do something, look, Lord, You said it, I'm going to do it, and that settles it.
I think the problem, Bob, sometimes the average Christian, I believe, sometimes we know that God can do anything, and I think we want to believe and trust Him. I think our biggest problem is ourselves.
Yes.
You know, does God work in my life? Is God doing something for me? I mean, look at me. Look at what I am. And God knew all of that, my Lord, when He created all of us. I tell our church family, don't look around for the sinner. Start right there within yourself. But God knew what we were, and yet He worked with everything that, you know, that we are. And so Romans 8, Bob, is such a powerful chapter in the Bible. Therefore, there is now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Verse 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And we have to accept that God is for us. I have to really, that's the element of trust, that God is for us. The average person out there that's just trying to walk this journey with Jesus, we have to trust that God is for us.
So for those who see religion as a means of controlling the masses, so to speak, of getting people to act in a certain way. For those individuals, we need to clarify that message and say that God wants us to act in the way that He created us for our own well-being.
Absolutely.
Just like teaching kids not to run out in the street after chasing a ball to stop, stopping at stop signs, looking both ways before you cross. All of those are rules, if you will, to control society. But the other side is failure to obey, failure to do what God set out as our very best for each other is a path to an unsuccessful life.
Absolutely. I have to trust, Bob, that there's nothing good for me outside the will of God.
Amen.
When Eve, of course, that was how Eve was deceived, that Satan began to convince her that God had hidden something, that there was another agenda, that God was not being loving and truly kind to them. And he began to try to create this atmosphere in Eve's life, and then later, of course, Adam, that God was hiding something, has not yet God said. And so what was going to keep Eve, of course, in that was that trust in God, that God did love her. God loved, and you spoke it well, that God gives us these commandments, if you want to use that term, but it is for our best interest. And if we fail and mess up, which we do, you just go back to God. Apostle Paul said, I have kept the faith and I finished the course. And he didn't say he always kept the course. He said, have I finished it?
Amen.
But what he did keep was the faith. And I would encourage all of our audience to keep the faith in the middle of your stumblings, our misdirections, our regrets. I am going to keep the faith. I'm going to continue to look to him, keep walking toward him, speaking that. And God said, that's enough.
Well, let me ask you, for those of us who follow after Christ, for those of us who look in his word for answers, I think you've spoken well this morning, and it's been very helpful what you've said. But we encounter people every day who are hopeless, people every day who have lost their purpose in life, people every day whose glass is always half empty. And when it overflows with nothing but trouble. What can we as believers do to, what's our word of comfort to those people? I can't walk up to say, you need to be restored. There's something wrong with you. There's probably possibly a better way to approach those folks.
Well, and that's well said, Bob. You're right. Everybody needs restoration, so at the outset, all of us need that.
Yes.
But admittedly, there are some that seem to journey a more difficult path than others. Perhaps that's self-inflicted, maybe decisions. Sometimes just life happens. And life can get very difficult. We all recognize that. I think that part of that answer first is to recognize I do have a future, that God always gives us a future. And Satan tries to steal that future through all these events of life. And so that goes back to that fundamental thing of trust and faith in God. And during these times, Bob, that you know God's going to get me through this, well, how? Well, first, I've got to remain and keep a God consciousness. I think all these things of life, part of the challenge of them and part of what Satan even tries to do is to get my focus off of God, circumstances, that and the very difficult problems.
Sure.
And the focus shifts away from that to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I leave that God consciousness, then I'm beginning to leave the very strength that I'm going to have to get through that. And so my first admonition is to somehow, in the middle of all that struggle, I've got to keep a God consciousness. I trust God that God's good, that God's right, God's fair, and that despite this heaviness of this burden, there is still a future for me.
So that we are vessels of hope. We are vessels of encouragement. First of all, empowering that in our lives as we go through our own restoration project. We're not the perfect ones to be able to say, I've got my act together, the rest of you guys are in trouble. But rather, we all walk the same path. We all follow the same journey. But having done that, to be vessels of hope for other people, God will help you get through this.
Absolutely.
He may not make all the circumstances go away. There is consequence to our sin.
Right.
We do stuff, and there's an equal and opposite reaction sometimes, which is unpleasant. But the other side is God will be comforted. God will comfort us.
Absolutely.
He will be with us. So we are vessels of hope. We're vessels of encouragement. And vessels to help people to walk the road back to some normalcy in their lives.
I have to see, Bob, that that tomorrow's not going to be like today. I have to have that hope. Well, what gives me that hope? Well, God does. He's the only ultimate thing, because we don't even know the future. But if I would trust that, and of course Job was probably the poster boy for suffering. It's hard to see how anyone could have suffered more than what the scripture shows that Job suffered. Lost all of his children in one day, lost all of his wealth, lost his health, and lost all the gifts that God had put in his life. Job didn't trust anything. He didn't know what was going on. He even lost his faith, in my opinion. But here's what Job didn't lose. Job had a second hedge. The first hedge was his blessings, the gifts. And Satan said, you take that away, he'll curse you, God. But Job had a second hedge, in my opinion, that was his trust. It reached even to the point that said, even if you slay me, yet will I trust you. And I would encourage all of us to develop that spirit of trust that God has proven himself faithful, and that I can trust him and speak to him and call to him even in my time of hopelessness.
Listen, an amazing word for today and for 2018, a theme of restoration, of not willing to stay where we are, but looking for a better tomorrow. Trusting in God, obeying his word, understanding his word, being in church, being with fellow believers, not being isolated by yourself, but to be with other people. It's a excellent, encouraging word for 2018, and not just for early January.
Right.
But I think it's a message that we could revisit every day and know that that it's good, it's solid, it's based on the word of God.
There's more, Bob. There's definitely more that God has for all of us, and we want to claim that and believe that. And again, as I said at the beginning, we have to create that atmosphere for that restoration, and that begins with the speaking, the exercising, the dominion, the prayer, unity. I think unity is very important, and remaining conscious of God. It's almost lamenting how God is trying to tell us, don't forget me. Don't forget me.
Yeah,
I'm here. And so we ought to keep that God consciousness every day. How do you do that? Well, you worship, you pray, you speak, don't complain. Don't ever fall in that trap of complaining and murmuring, because that leads to unbelief, which is probably the worst sin we commit against God. But if I begin to declare his word, speak his word, exercise that word, God said, I'll take care of this.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor. I'm so excited to have sat down with you today and to speak these words. I think you've spoken great wisdom to us, and I thank you for your time this morning.
Absolutely. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, sir. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. We'd like to hear from you. Send us a text. Leave us a comment. If something Pastor Brian said today that was of interest to you, be in touch. You can also like us on Facebook, Grace Radio Slidell, and go to our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make tax-deductible donations to support this station. We need the support of folks just like you. And again, that number to call is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again daily for Voices of Slidell at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.